Hashtag stop Galamsey now.
Let the water flow. I will speak to him directly. President John Dramani Mahama.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Midday News. The news is live on Joy 99.7 FM, Hits 103.9 FM in Accra, also on Love 99.5 in Kumasi and streaming worldwide at myjoyonline.com, X-Spaces, Facebook and YouTube. We're also live in all 16 regions of Ghana via affiliates, including Lolonyo, Hohoi, Bewa Radio, Yendi, Inkligi, Bole, ATL, Cape Coast and Radio Freed in Nandom. The Midday News is supported by Petrosol Platinum Energy, Energizing Dreams. This afternoon, minority demands removal of one city fuel levy, calling for urgent relief for consumers in the face of the war in Iran, which is driving up prices.
The justification for the one Ghana city doomsday levy has completely evaporated. Keeping it is not policy. It is punishment. We call on government to immediately amend the Energy Sector Levies Amendment Act 2025 under a certificate of urgency to repeal the one Ghana city doomsday levy forthwith.
With details from Parliament, as the minority also pushes for a reduction in utility tariffs by as much as 10% to ease the burden on consumers.
With electricity tariffs falling by an average of 4.81% and water tariffs by 3.06%, we say plainly this reduction is insufficient.
Also this afternoon, government gives firm assurance of no fuel shortage despite global crude deplete and rise in prices, as the National Petroleum Authority says Ghana has 6 to 7 weeks supply of petrol and diesel.
In fact, now from what we have now extended to almost 7.
Extended to almost 7 weeks of cover. What about
petrol? Petrol is doing 6.
But when will government consider relief for consumers amid rising pump prices?
We need to give ourselves this 2 weeks window and see, first of all, what is the outlook like in terms of even the war itself?
Also, this afternoon, government begins processes for recruitment of staff into public service following recent cry for jobs.
Government committed to engage with unions on outstanding conditions of service and undertake critical recruitment into the public service, all within budget constraints.
We have details from the President's dialogue with organized labor held yesterday in sports.
The Senegalese Football Association is set to head to the Court of Arbitration for Sports over CAF's decision to strip them of the AFCON title.
And President Mahama directs Finance Ministry to lead a thorough review of Ghana's pension structure.
Our goal is clear. Every Ghanaian worker must retire with dignity, with security and confidence in the pension system.
Solidarity forever.
These and more with me, Mamyesi Nyamiche Thompson. This is Joy News, independent, fearless, and credible. Please stay. This afternoon, the minority in Parliament is demanding the immediate removal of the one city fuel levy, citing the sharp rise in fuel prices triggered by ongoing war in Iran and closure of the Strait of Hormuz. Speaking to journalists in Parliament, Deputy Ranking Member on the Energy Committee, Collins Adumakumensa, argued that the levy is placing an unbearable strain on Ghanaians already grappling with rising cost of living. He insists that government must act swiftly to cushion consumers in the face of external shocks and place before Parliament a bill to repeal the law by certificate of urgency.
The World Bank guarantee has been fully restored, and the government has stated unequivocally that the era of unchecked energy sector debt accumulation is over. If the debt has been addressed, if the guarantee has been restored, and if the CD is no longer shielding consumers from levies impact, then the justification for the One Ghana CD doomsday levy has completely evaporated. Keeping it is not policy. It is punishment. We call on government to immediately amend the Energy Sector Levies Amendment Act 2025 under a certificate of urgency to repeal the One Ghana CD doomsday levy forthwith. Additionally, we call on government to direct a comprehensive review of all taxes and levies embedded in the petroleum price buildup and to intensify those that can be suspended or restructured to cushion consumers.
The minority is also calling for a reduction in utility tariffs by up to 10%, warning that households and businesses are being squeezed from multiple fronts as fuel and energy costs continue to climb. PRC last week reduced utility tariffs by almost 5%. But the minority says that is not enough.
The Regulatory Commission announced on 13th March 2026 reductions in electricity and water tariffs effective 1st April 2026, with electricity tariffs falling by an average of 4.81% and water tariffs by 3.06%. We say plainly, this reduction is insufficient and Ghanaian consumers deserve far better. We have carefully reviewed PRC's own quarterly data for 2025. What those figures reveal is a consistent and systematic pattern of overprojection in both inflation and exchange rate assumptions. Everyone of which worked against the Ghanaian consumer represent the facts. On the matter of inflation, the PRC's projection versus actual outcomes for 2025 tell a damning story. In quarter one and quarter two, the Commission projected an inflation rate of 22.49% against an actual average of 20.3%, an overprojection of 2.19 percentage points. In quarter three, the PRC projected 20.67% inflation when the actual figure was 11%. And of a projection of 9.67%.
Well, let's head to Parliament. Kweku Asante is there for us and joins us on the phone lines. So, Kweku, the minority has also been raising concerns about claims of fast depleting ECG prepaid credit and are demanding the publication of an investigative report on the matter. Tell us more.
Well, Mamisi, a few weeks ago, the Energy Minister announced that some investigation were being done into complaints from consumers that their prepaid credit on their ECG meters were really running very fast. The minority say, despite some timelines that the minister put to this investigation, they understand the investigation is done, but the report is yet to be made fully public for the public to get to know what exactly is going wrong and what remedial measures have been put in place. They want two things. First, the publication of the investigation report, but they also want ECG to be subjected to further parliamentary probe. Listen to Collins Adomaku Mensah again on this issue.
On 25th February 2026, the Minister for Energy and Green Transition, Dr. John Jinapo, directed the Electricity Company of Ghana to conduct a comprehensive investigation into the rapid depletion of prepaid electricity credits and submit a report within 7 days. On that same date, the PRC itself convened an emergency meeting with ECG, citing serious irregularity, technical and consumer protection concerns, and warning that the situation could affect public confidence in the metering and vending systems. That 7-day deadline expired on 4th March 2026. Today is 18th March 2026. We are now well past 3 weeks since the minister's directive. The report has not been published. The minister has not addressed the public. Consumers are still watching the prepaid credit drain. This is not a new crisis. The cycle of consumer outcry, followed by audits announcements, followed by unresolved complaints, has now repeated itself at least twice within 14 months.
Away from Parliament, government has given a firm assurance that there will be no fuel shortage in Ghana, despite declining crude supplies on the world market. This assurance comes at the back of concerns over the reduction in supply of global crude and increasing prices, a situation resulting from the U.S.-Israel war on Iran. Addressing the concerns on PM Express last night, Chief Executive Officer of the National Petroleum Authority, Edugi Tamaklo, says there's no cause for alarm because there's enough reserve to last the country for at least 7 weeks.
What the ordinary Ghanaian today is asking for are two things: product availability and pricing. If assuming the price even goes high, he wants a firm assurance that my government, do you have enough product in the country that I will not have to queue at the pump? The firm assurance is, yes, we have. Mm. In fact, our available record shows that for the next 7 weeks, We have enough diesel in the country. As I speak to you, at the CBM, there's a vessel discharging now.
Petrol?
Diesel.
Okay.
We have four more vessels at Anchorage waiting to discharge more into the system. So clearly, in terms of product security, product availability, I want to assure our people that there's a firm grip on that one.
So the diesel, you have up to 4 weeks of cover.
In fact, now we've, from what we have now, extended to almost 7.
Extended to almost 7 weeks of cover. What about petrol?
Petrol is doing 6.
6 weeks of cover.
Well, another key concern for many, including the minority, has been the call for the removal of some taxes and an immediate government intervention to mitigate the high pump prices. Listen to MP for Damango, Samuel Abujanapo, who said the government must convene an immediate cabinet meeting on the matter.
The price of petrol in our country is a spike. And clearly, I'm not an economist, but the economists will tell you that not too long from now, we're going to have the spiral effect. You are going to have transport fares go up. You are going to have inflation go up. You are going to have the cost of living crisis in our country exacerbated. It's going to get worse. It's going to happen. And this is where leadership is called upon. Sir Keir Starmer of the United Kingdom has just approved £53 million to support British citizens in the purchase of oil for heating during winter. Countries across the world are putting in place measures to cushion their citizens. Our government should also step forward, especially so when in opposition, they even had prescriptions. They said, we can use a stabilization fund, we can use a sinking fund, we can use a sovereignty fund, we can remove taxes from fuel, and that we can take out about 8 out of the so many taxes on the fuel accumulation of pricing, which will bring about relief. What the government should do is to step forward and bring about relief and cushion Ghanaian people, as President Kufuor did, as President Akufo-Addo did.
Well, here's the NPA's boss's response on when these demands can be considered.
It is not a conversation that you can simply say is binary, yes or no, you scrap or you not. You need to weigh, possibly with the benefit of time. So we will need to give ourselves this 2 weeks window and see, first of all, what is the outlook like in terms of even the war itself?
In your modeling,
yeah.
At what price would these interventions be triggered?
Oh, anything beyond maybe 120.
What price of crude?
Maybe.
Okay. Then the interventions will be triggered. Locally.
The conversations can be firmed up.
Okay. And then that passes on to the consumer. Basically, bottom line, that's what it means, right?
In the past few days, and you know, I think the president has been generally concerned about prices. Greatly concerned, that I can tell you. And so, if there is anything within the rules books on how to mitigate the impact for the average Ghanaian, the president will not hesitate at all. He will not hesitate at all. I mean, his record is there.
You have the NPA boss, Edugi Tamaklo, speaking to my colleague Evans Mensah. Well, this whole conversation has been triggered by Iran's decision to close the Strait of Hormuz. Data and research analyst here joins Anthony Maynard, joins me with the latest development at the Strait. So, Anthony, what's the current development there?
You see, the situation is highly controlled. Mm-hmm. Iran has not fully opened the Strait of Hormuz. Instead, it has restricted access, allowing only selected vessels to actually go through, excluding, of course, that of U.S. Mm-hmm. and then Israel. In fact, the data that is coming to us from the Institute for Study of War shows that at least 22 civilian vessels have already been attacked. Right. Some countries like Pakistan, mm-hmm. India, and Turkey are actually receiving limited access to the Strait, while other major economies like China, France, and Italy are still in talks with Iran.
Iran, okay. So what does supply look like now? Should the world be worried?
See, supply is actually under pressure, but it is still holding for now. Oil prices have already jumped from around $65 to over $100 per barrel, a surge of more than 40%. Actually, in response, oil producers are actually finding a different way to bring oil to their people. According to data from the International Energy Agency, Saudi Arabia has increased flows through its east-west pipeline to about 5.9 million barrels per day, with capacity nearing 7 million. The UAE is also operating a full row, about 1.8 million barrels per day through its alternative pipeline. So yes, supply is stable, but the biggest challenge is the cost of transport of transporting crude and then insurance as well.
All right. Thank you. Anthony Menu is a research analyst here at Joy News. Now, Finance Minister Dr. Kassia Olatofosun has announced that the administration has commenced processes for the recruitment of staff into the public service. This follows calls on the Finance Minister to grant financial clearance for recruitment into the sector. The Roads and Highways Minister Kwame Govan-Zagbaja, for instance, has said his ministry needs to employ some 1,000 people to enhance the efficiency of the ministry. Addressing a dialogue with President John Mahama on Tuesday, Dr. Fosun confirmed that the recruitment push is part of government's broader agreement with organized labor aiming at fulfilling commitments to boost staffing levels across various state agencies.
We have received from the Fair Wages and Salaries proposals of conditions of service amounting to 7.4 billion Ghana cedis, which we are reviewing. The 2026 agreement between government and organized labor still holds. In fact, per the 9th November 2025 agreement on the 2026 base pay, government committed to engage with unions on outstanding conditions of service and undertake critical recruitment into the public service, all within budget constraints. In this regard, government has commenced processes for the recruitment of staff into the public service. Fair Wages and Salaries Commission has also commenced negotiations with organized labor on review of conditions of service, and very soon we'll be approving them.
Well, let's get some more understanding on this data on recruitments. And joining me is Maxwell Aklobotu, also with a research and data desk here at Joy News. So, Maxwell, you've been analysing the data on public sector recruitment. What do the figures reveal about staff strength and compensation trends?
Yeah, Mami. So available data shows that the staff strength of government of Ghana stood at 959,120, and that is as of end 2023. And in terms of compensation that same year, government spending on public sector employees reached 44.9 billion Ghana cedis in 2023. And this figure has been rising consistently and increasing to 63.6 billion Ghana cedis in 2024, climbing further to 76.2 billion Ghana cedis in 2025. And as the finance minister said, to meet part of this obligation, the government had to borrow approximately 17 billion Ghana cedis just to cover that obligation. And for this year, compensation is projected at 90.7 billion Ghana cedis based on the budget estimates.
Thank you, Maxwell, for that update. Well, President John Mahama has directed the Ministry of Finance to lead a thorough review of Ghana's pension structure, placing special emphasis on increasing participation among workers in the informal sector. Speaking during the presidential dialogue with organized labor, he stressed that all Ghanaian workers deserve to retire with dignity. He said this, and he said his administration is dedicated to building a pension system that guarantees security, confidence, and a dignified retirement for every citizen. Parliamentary or Presidential Affairs Correspondent Maxwell Akmagba reports.
Solidarity forever.
The atmosphere at the banquet hall of the Jubilee House. 43 organized labor groups under three umbrella bodies, the Trades Union Congress, the Ghana Federation of Labor, and the Forum, were present for the presidential dialogue with organized labor. The meeting comes just a month after the president engaged captains of industry and the private sector. The Secretary General of the Trades Union Congress, Joshua Ansah, speaking on behalf of the groups, raised concerns about salary disparities, the pension structure, housing, among other issues.
We can only conclude that minimum wage earnings in Ghana who pay rent, utilities, and clothing are magicians. Your Excellency, how workers on this salary pay for food, rent, clothing, and utilities for themselves and their families remains a puzzle. The proverbial chicken and egg situation no longer applies. In truth, the chicken is too famished to produce the egg. We must rehabilitate the chicken.
In his address, President Mahama directed the Minister of Finance to lead a thorough review of Ghana's pension structure. He stressed that all Ghanaian workers deserve to retire with dignity.
I've therefore instructed the Minister of Finance to oversee a thorough review of our pension structure with the aim of expanding coverage, especially to the informal sector, modernizing our contribution systems, and strengthening governance and investment management. Our goal is clear. Every Ghanaian worker must retire with dignity, with security and confidence in the pension system.
President John Mahama also indicated that the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission will undergo restructuring this year and be reconstituted as an independent emoluments commission. He further disclosed plans to implement a national emoluments policy aimed at addressing disparities in pay across the public sector in Ghana.
Accordingly, as part of our research agenda, the government has declared 2026 as a year of transition from the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission to a new independent emoluments commission. The independent emoluments commission will create a transparent, rules-based, and evidence-driven system for setting public sector pay.
You're still listening to the Midday News here on Joy 99.7 FM. We'll take a break, return with sports. Also, on today's episode of Climate Evidence, we tell you how climate change is fueling a growing conflict between farmers and herders in Ghana's savannah. Welcome back to the Midday News. Achu is here with sports. And Achu, Senegalese fans and some Ghanaians are up against CAF's decision to strip Senegal of AFCON title. What are the people saying?
Well, the most significant take has to be that of the Senegalese Football Association, mm-hmm. who are set to head to the Court of Arbitration for Sports over CAF's decision to strip them of the title. You know, last night, CAF announced its decision to award a 3-0 victory to Morocco following a decision by its appeal jury concerning the AFCON final involving Senegal. It said that it had upheld an appeal filed by the Fédération Royale of Morocco, that's the Moroccan Football Federation, in relation to the match which saw the Teranga Lions win by a 0-0 just about some 3 months or 2 months ago.
Yeah.
The jury declared Morocco's appeal admissible and overturned an earlier decision by CAF's disciplinary jury. Now, according to the statements last night, they said the reversal was on procedural grounds, with the governing body noting that Morocco's right to be heard had not been respected during the initial proceedings. Of course, Senegal have said they are going to appeal this within the next 48 hours.
Well, I wish this hadn't happened, but well, let's see how it goes.
The craziest thing that could happen is CAS upholding Senegal's appeal and declaring them champions again.
That'll be interesting to learn. Thank you very much, Achu, for that update. Well, in the Savannah region, climate change is not only drying up the land, but also deepening tensions between local farmers and nomadic herders, as harsh weather pushes large cattle herds south from the Sahel in search of water and pasture. Local farmers facing shorter rainy seasons and declining yields are increasingly at risk of losing their crops and livelihoods. More in today's edition of Climate Evidence.
Now crack under the sun's heat, while rivers and streams dry up long before the next rainy season arrives. Here, the changing climate is forcing people into desperate choices and turning neighbors into rivals. When large herds of cattle arrive, trampling crops in search of pasture and water, the result is anger and catastrophic loss. The General Secretary of FUBE in Ghana, Yakubu Musa Bari, argues that the herders are victims of circumstance.
Now, this climate change issue that drives them away from wherever they are coming from, entering a land that they are not familiar with, You know, definitely without adequate policy or either instructions or guide, that is how you see sometimes these animals go astray to enter farms.
When I farm, I have 14 bags of maize. The next year, I have 10 bags. So this year, I decided to say that maybe the way I have to add some of the acre. Unfortunately, when I farmed this year, these animals came cheap inside and destroyed some of the maize.
On the other hand, Musa Jalu, a migrant herdsman from Mali, speaks on his desperate journey. For Jalu, the open land is meant for all. The only consensus-driven, long-term solution to end open grazing and prevent any further bloodshed is the establishment of controlled modern livestock ranching facilities. The Savannah Regional Minister strongly supports the model.
Well, let's do what's trending. Adobia is in the studio now. Adobia, what's trending?
Mommy, you know the Senegal-Morocco issue will definitely be in the trends. Well, because we already know what's happening with that. Mm-hmm. I'll just take a few comments and we're out of it. Well, AJ Love says, the world knows the true champions. Mommy, do you believe Senegal was the true champions?
Of course they are.
Of course.
They deserve to win that cup.
Anyway, but Cleaver is asking something. He says, so will CAF have to...